This is the quiet time, or the how we might be more effective in our walk with the Lord. Well, I'm calling this the daily quiet time, and so you know where I'm going. Here's the definition that I have chosen: that deliberately planned time when you are alone with God in the light of His Word and in the atmosphere of prayer to do business with Him. Now, I got that from Stephen Olford in a little track or a little booklet. And that has been very meaningful to me. Any thoughts on that? Just the definition? That deliberately, I think you have to make a choice. It isn't just happens. You have to definitely plan on it. You have to build it in. Because if you tack it on, you lose it. That deliberately planned time when you are alone with God in the light of His Word. See, so it's, you know, He has to be speaking to you and in the atmosphere of prayer to do business with Him. So this is a little workshop, not just on the Scriptures alone or on prayer. It's kind of both. But we're talking about that time set aside. I guess maybe an illustration I could use. Before Merle and I were married, she was working with the Billy Graham Crusades. And she was in New York, San Francisco, and so forth. And I was in Minneapolis. So if I wanted to get together with her, I'd have to go to those places. Now, I like people, and there were a lot of people around. But in those situations, I would try to maneuver the circumstances around to be alone with her. And I think you understand what I mean. You want to be alone with the one you love. There's just something special about it. Now, we like great crowds. You know, let's say we're in a Billy Graham crusade. There's 60, 70,000 people. Or I don't know if you've ever been to the Bill Gothard Institute, like in Minneapolis, you got 15, 20, 25,000 people. And there's a great impact. And some of our Bible studies in the Twin Cities, like the Dyna Men's Class, 400 men every Monday night. Just dynamite. But I think there's something about being alone that's special. And that's what I'm talking about. You want to be alone with the one you love. And if you really love the Lord, you want to be alone with Him. It isn't just, you know, weekly in a nice group. So that's what we're talking about, this quiet time, time alone with the Lord. Now, what I put down here is why. And these are just some of the reasons I have why it's important. So let's look up the first one, John 4:23. I have it listed here. And let's just look it up. And then we'll take our time and read it. So we want to, now some of these things you know, but I just want to review it, why it's important. Okay? Someone like to read that verse?
Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks.
So if you wanted to write down a note after that, why to worship the Lord? So you might write that down, to worship the Lord. This next little story takes place here at Glenary. Dawson Trotman drowned, and his widow was about 42 or 43 at the time. Her name is Lila. And when Merle would come back, she was staying with Lila. And this is the time of our romance, and so one night after supper, Merle said to Lila, "Well, I'm going upstairs and write a love letter to Bob." And then Lila looked at Merle and she says, "Well, now you know a little of what I miss." And she went on to share with Merle how she missed Doss, and they had a rich life together. They had five children. And then she likened it how the Lord misses it when we, you know, fail to take time for Him. And then she shared with Merle this very verse, "For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Now, when you think of the quiet time, you're always, you know, we're so self-centered. What do I get out of it? Am I getting a good... See, we're so experience-oriented. We always want a good feeling. But the test of really walking with the Lord is when the feelings aren't there. And you're just... things aren't going so well. And yet you're still steadfast in your walk with Him. Well, now, here, why do I want to get alone with the Lord? To worship Him. See, He made me for Himself. And so it's so important to have that motive hey, I need time with the Lord because he misses it if I don't take time. All right, let's go on. Let's take the next one, Philippians 3:10. Let's check that out. That's that General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, Dan, you want to read that?
I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
All right. Now, I just take the first part of this. There's a lot of meaning to the rest of the verse. I don't want to neglect it. But we're starting out with just those first few words, which says, that I may know him. So you might want to write that down. Why do I want to get alone? Well, I want to get to know the Lord. Now, when I was trying to, in my courtship with Merle, there was a drive to get alone with her. Well, why? Well, I wanted to get to know her. And it's difficult to get to know people in a group. Like if you and I are one-on-one, we get a lot more depth in our relationship. Well, that's one of the reasons, like you were saying, you wanted to get to know the Lord. Well, it's going to take time. Now, a lot of us are looking for a special experience or a special pill to take, and then we think, oh boy, now we're, you know, we really... But no, it takes time. There's nothing, you know, fakey about that. It just takes time to get to know the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why I need to get alone with the Lord, to get to know him. All right, let's look up another reasons why it's important. I think I use this verse of Scripture just about every day in my time with the Lord. Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Ruth, you want to read that?
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
So, why is it important for me to get alone? To confess every known sin. You might want to write that down. Confess every known sin. And that, now that doesn't mean that I couldn't be riding along in the bus, or you couldn't be doing dishes, and there's some sin that strikes, and you just, at that moment, confess it. But there's something about getting alone and reflecting and saying, now, Lord, is there anything in my life that's grieving you or hurting you? And not that you stay on that and be morbid for an hour, but it just takes some moments. And is there anything in my life? Maybe it's when you're reading or even praying, some thought comes and you just say, Lord, forgive me of my bad temper. Forgive me of that unkind word that I said to my wife or whatever it is. But that's what I want to do, is when I get alone with the Lord, to spend some time in confession of sin. So it's very important. All right, let's go to the next one. Proverbs 16:3, another reason why it's important to get alone with the Lord. Proverbs 16:3. Kathy, you want to read that when you find it? Proverbs 16:3.
Entrust your works to the Lord and your plans will succeed.
Yes.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm. No, I have it, of course, all these memorized in the King James because that's how I cut my teeth more. But that says in the King James, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, why is it important for me to get alone? To commit the works, the day. Otherwise, the pressure hits. Sometimes people say, well, I'm too busy, I can't get time for the Lord. Yeah, but I have to get alone with the Lord to commit the day to the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. And then I can let the day fall however it may. So it's very important for me to commit all these situations. Now, other verses that we'll pick up later, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved or be shook up, as I say it. So to keep that time with the Lord and commit the day to the Lord, it saves a lot of aspirin tablets for me.
That's a good verse, I think.
Yeah. And you know, in one translation, maybe it's in the Living Bible, it says, roll all your care upon him. Well, see, why, you know, like I used to say, well, why worry, or why pray when you can worry? See, it's usually the other way, you know, but why pray when you can worry? All right, let's look at another one. Psalm 143:8, another reason why it's important.
Okay.
You want to read that? Psalm 143:8.
Right. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for you I lift up my soul.
And that's what I put down here is guide me, the guidance and the direction. And a lot of us are making some very important decisions. Some of you have children that may be making some important decisions, or you may have some job situations. And I need to get alone with the Lord to get direction, because I don't want to get out of God's will for my life. So I need to spend that time alone for direction and guidance. All right, now another one, and you might think this a little strange, why it's important to get alone with the Lord. And I'll just tell you what I want, and you might put that down. For witnessing, sharing your faith. So you might write that down after Acts 4:13, for witnessing. And then, Dan, you can read that, Acts 4:13.
When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished that they had took note, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
All right. So here they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And remember now, Peter and John were just common guys. They were in the fishing business, and they didn't have any education to speak of. It says in this translation, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, meaning they didn't have degrees and weren't educated. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been at the Navigator Conference. No. That they'd been at the Assembly of God Church. No. Or they'd been Baptist. No. No. That they'd been what? With Jesus. So now someone like, in fact, Lauren Sanney, the president of the Navigators, I think he's the one who said that, and I like it. Witnessing is just getting a good look at the Lord and telling what you've seen. Now, let's say that, you know, before you're all married, you had a romance going with you know, maybe somebody else at that time, and you'd ask a guy, well, tell me about Mary. Oh, that's no problem. He wouldn't have to go down to the library and get a book on that. Or he wouldn't have to take a course on how to do that. No, it's easy to talk about the one you love. And so I think our problem in sharing our faith is sometimes we don't know the Lord too well. And then we have to get a lot of gimmicks and stuff and procedures. But so my thing is trying to help people to get into the Lord, into the Scriptures for themselves and get into that quiet time with the Lord. See, then when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. So that's why it's important to get that time with the Lord. All right, another one. These are just some personal reasons why it's important to me, and you may have your own, but Isaiah 40:31, and I'm sure you know that one, but how many of you have had days where it gets kind of pressurizing or you get drained? Maybe you work with some people that aren't, their conversations aren't too edifying, or you're just around a lot of situations. It just kind of saps you on the inside. So it's important for me to get alone to do what? So, Ruth, you want to read that?
But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
See, Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So why do I want to get alone with the Lord? To renew. Renew that inner, the strengthening me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We need to get alone just to get renewed, revived. Well, those are some reasons why I think it's important. Now, maybe some of you have had time with the Lord, and any reasons that you might like to add to that, why it's important? We probably could make another 7 on our list, but any others that you can think of?
Well, I guess it comes under guidance and direction, but there's just such a sense of planning for the day. Just I know where I'm going now. Just
yeah,
you know, just a purpose.
You know, we have one CPA. I remember him. He's such an athlete too, in the Twin Cities, and Episcopalian guy, and he started having this time with the Lord, and he'd get up in the morning and he'd just say, well, where are we going today, Jesus? And he's all kind of excited, you know, for the adventure. It's just kind of a sweet walk with the Lord. And here he is, a managing partner in one of the large accounting firms in the nation. Well, those are just some reasons. Now, you have to review that, because if it's really important, then you're going to find time. But if you don't think it's important, you won't take time for it. See, the tyranny of the urgent. All right, let's go to the where. The next point is, we want to be real practical now. We're talking not about the arrow prayer or how you can pray during the day on the hoof and all, but we're talking about that special time, that appointment. So if we're going to have some time alone, where? All right, Matthew 6:6. Kathy, you want to read that?
Okay. Whenever you pray, go to your room, close your door, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees what no man sees, will repay you.
So where do we pray? Well, in the King James, it says the closet. It's kind of a prayer closet. And this is so important, to have a place and to be alone, where you close the door, so to speak, to the distractions. And that's always kind of my priority, to make sure I get a place. Now, when I was in college, well, then that would be different. You'd have some roommates, and I'd have to get up and get out of there and find a place to get alone. Now, if you're in your own home, well, you have to find out where you can be alone, and that's your date with the Lord. But you might say, we've got a small home, and we've got a lot of kids, and if we try to get alone, we get disturbed. Well, I know one guy in Minnesota, especially up in Hibbing, it gets pretty cold, but one fellow in Minneapolis was a butcher, and he'd come to Christ, but he had about 3 children at the time, and if he would get up early and go out in the living room, the children would get up, and it would be disturbing because he wanted to be alone with the Lord. And it's difficult to have time with the Lord if you've got the television on or the radio on or people are on. So anyway, he discovered by going outside, in the winter even, and in those days the gas wasn't as expensive, but he would just start up his car and get it warm, and he'd have his time with the Lord out there. And sometimes people go to a nearby church just to get alone. Now, this is a beautiful place, Glen Eyrie, where you can get alone. And now, I used to stay here a part of my life, a few months here and there, and then this particular room was one where I would try to get here about 6 o'clock or so, and nobody was in here. And then I'd close the door, like it says in Matthew 6:6, and this was my place. So it was a nice place to have time with the Lord. All right, let's look up Daniel 6:10. You want to read that?
I'm Charlie.
Okay, Charlie.
Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before.
Yeah, notice the emphasis on getting down on his knees. And like I said, when was it this morning, about, I used to think it was only the Catholics and got down on their knees, or the Episcopalians. But getting down on your knees and praying. Now, I think God hears us if we're standing on our head. But there's something about getting down on your knees and humbling yourself before the Lord. And Daniel, 3 times a day. But he got alone in his room. I suppose his bedroom. Or maybe it was a little prayer room or something. But upstairs, and opened up his window. And it seemed to be a habit. It was kind of built in to him to get down. But the point here, I guess I'm trying to get, is alone, a place. Now, let's discuss this a bit. Do you have a place and where you can, where it's kind of, that's prayer for you and your quiet time? Do you have a place for that, Charlie?
Well, it's kind of a twofold step for me, because I run in the morning, and that's, I really like the peaceful time, because it gives me a chance to talk to the Lord while I'm running and praising. And I usually come in and try to sit down with my Bible and just read something.
So you're sort of talking to the Lord when you're running, and
right. It's a real special time, because I'm always, usually the sun's rising, and at least, well, of course now it's getting winter, but it's so neat, because the nature, and just, it's absolute quiet. There's no other people out where I run. It's just a real special experience. So high. I mean, it is just absolutely fired up by the time. And, and, uh, and sometimes hard to sit down and just really get into some serious.
Yeah. Well, it's very important that you have something built in and a plan. All right, let's look at the when. Now, have you ever been to a concert? When does the orchestra tune up? Before the concert or after? All right, I think it's very important that we tune up first. Now, it may not be for some schedules, like if mothers and that, maybe there's some juggling and all, but I would say for most men, if they don't get that time with the Lord first thing, that doesn't mean they can't get more time at noon or in the evening, but I think first thing in the morning, for most men, it's very important. So let's look at Psalm 5:3. And Dan, you want to read that?
Morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation.
And it says the voice. It isn't just I think it's important to, we'll come to this later, but even praying out loud, I do that. But that's why it's important to have a private place, otherwise some people think something's wrong with you. But I think your voice. But my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. So I think it's important to get that time. Now, David had some habits too on this, so let's check out Psalm 55:17 and read that one. Ruth, you want to read that?
Yeah. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice.
Okay, there we get the idea that, like Daniel, there was three times a day, evening, morning, and noon. I think I'm talking about a fixed time, not that we can't pray other times, but I think this should be built in. I know, like, even husbands and wives, sometimes they have to get together. They have to have a, say, Friday night's the time we get together. It's kind of a date time. They may see each other all the time, but they just need that special time. And so that needs to be built in. And then Mark 1:35. Yes, comment?
And that one too, he talks about, he hears my voice. About praying out loud.
Out loud, yeah. Now there is that Romans 8:26 where there is the praying that isn't even uttered. So I think there's a deeper prayer that it says you can't even utter it. Romans 8:26. But Mark 1:35 is the example of Jesus. Kathy?
Rising early the next morning, he went off to a lonely place in the desert. There he was absorbed in prayer.
Now, if Jesus needed to get alone with the Father, how about you and me? So, what an example. Now, I'm not saying it's a command. Mm-hmm. We're reading a narrative there. But if we were to follow the Lord, and he thought it was important, and they were busy, there were times, you know, where they would have a very full day. But it's important to get that time alone. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out to a solitary place and there prayed. Well, those are some of the reasons why and where and when. Now let's talk about some suggestions so we can encourage one another in this time alone with the Lord. And I just listed some suggestions. First is to have a plan. Now you might want to ask me some questions because I've been working on this for a number of years. But I think it's important to have a plan. Now, some people have that lucky dip method. You know, they just go like this and, you know, if go and hang thyself. Whatsoever you do it quickly. You know, you can get into trouble that way. But I think that it's important to have a plan for prayer and for this reading of scriptures, whatever you do. Now, I would, right now, I'm reading in 1 Samuel, and I do just take a chapter a day, but I have a little, what would be a little devotional diary, and I just write some thoughts down. Nothing high power, just, it helps me to think a little bit into it. And I like to, maybe I'll take notes, you know, too. I'll write little things and underline and maybe little comments. Some guys will, you know, they usually will read from Genesis to Revelation. Others may, like I always have a finger in the Psalms, because that helps me worship the Lord. And usually, I will just take a psalm a day. And first day of September, I'll take Psalm 1. And then I get on my knees on this, and I'll just go through it. Well, let me just take... look at this one. Well, let me see. Psalm 25, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I might just stop and say, Lord, I lift up my soul to thee. And, oh my God, and it's a personal relationship. I trust in thee. You know, it's kind of a two-way. You know, when we talk, I don't talk for 30 minutes, and then you talk for 30 minutes. It's a two-way type of thing. And I think a lot of times our prayers are, we pray for a long time, and then we read. I think it's, sometimes should be just both, kind of back and forth. And this helps me to worship the Lord, because the Psalms are good for getting my focus on the Lord. Like Psalm 46, if you did that. That was really good. God's sovereign. God engineers the circumstances. And the world's in a mess, but God's still in control. So then I can stop and just praise the Lord. Now that's a plan that I have. I have to have variety at times. I have to make some changes as I go along.
That's not your Bible study time.
No. Like, now, we have a lot of guys, secular guys that haven't cracked the Scriptures, and we talk about time alone with the Lord, and a lot of times they're using that for Bible study. Well, that's, you know, okay. But we hope we'll wean them away from that, because they don't know where they're, you know, it's brand new, and they're getting some time with the Lord and the Scriptures. But no, that's not Bible study time or a strong reading program. It's more of a devotional time where you're kind of getting reoriented and refocused for the day. The worship, praise. Now I do have, there's intercessory prayer as part of my quiet time where I'll have some prayer lists and I pray over, we'll talk about that. But those are things you need to discuss with people and get ideas. Now, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship is a collegiate work that has a booklet that was produced in 1945, I think, and it's still probably the best in the market. It's called The Quiet Time. And you get a lot of ideas in that. And maybe downstairs you could pick it up, The Quiet Time. And there are other booklets, too, that will help you. Yeah, Charlie?
There's an article. It's the one with the little boy on the front of the Navigator's magazine.
The Discipleship Journal? The
Discipleship Journal. And it's an excellent piece on The Quiet Time.
Yeah.
On the staff. I guess that's the latest edition. I presume it is.
Well, see, you get... Well, the Navigators will hit that hard about the InterVarsity. A lot of times people don't have a quiet time. They might, when they're in trouble, they might start working on it a bit. But so we got to get the reasons why we want this time, and then try to find some literature that might challenge you, get some ideas, have a little variety, have a plan. I pray over maps. And I love that. Now, Merle doesn't like that as well.
You pray over what?
Maps. Like, I pray for Hibbing. Yesterday I prayed over Minnesota. But I also pray for every part of the world. Pray for China just about every day. And Australia just about every day. Kenya. Because I'm committed there in some ways. But then I pray for, you know, Nigeria. And I'll pray for Yugoslavia. And, different that way, and then I pray for the different states. But I have to break it up, because it takes time. But it reminds me of people that live in that city. And I suppose just you people being here, I pray for Virginia, but you know, I don't know a lot of people in these places. But then I remember a few, and then I don't have a long list that way. That's kind of boring to me. But I also have lists, because there's certain people I don't want to miss. Now, I have friends that will pray... Now, I don't think everybody will do this, but he and his wife spend 2 hours a day praying, and they usually cover quickly a couple hundred people. But they don't have any lists. They just pray, and it seems as they come to mind, they pray over these people. And he prays every day for me, Bob Heaton from Seattle, the butcher that I told you about. So he's still at it after all these years. Oh, this is built into his life. That's great. Some of our guys in Minneapolis, they would no more think not having time than walking out without being dressed. So it's really built in.
How long does your, you know, I'm sure each is different, but I guess I was kind of looking for an easy answer. I have 3 kids, 5 and under, and the at dawn would be great, but they get up with me, and then the day just starts earlier, and so it gets off to a bad start. And they don't take naps all together at the same time, so there's no, you know.
Well, you might have to go the Psalm 55:17, evening, morning, at noon, and maybe you want to get a head start, just a few minutes, you know, before everybody, you know, even if it's 5-10 minutes, and then maybe during the day. Now in college, I would get that time, that quiet time, and then my first free period would be Bible study. But you're just going to have to work that out, and it's going to be, you know, more flexible. But I would get that. It seems to me it'd be nice to get a little bit of time before it hits you. Because otherwise, you don't get on top of the day, and then the day runs itself. So it's very important to get that committed to the Lord first, even though it's brief. But we'll talk about that a little bit too. Well, the next point here I have down as a suggestion is read and pray out loud. I've already mentioned that. That's not the best way to read, you know, but...
Do you read often?
Yeah. But I don't, you know, yell. But I think it helps me to concentrate, and I'll come to that at another point. But see, I'm not trying to read a lot. It's just a short time, and maybe I may not read out loud that really all the time either, but I certainly do when I pray. But I may, like, especially, judge me, O Lord. Yeah, I probably most of the time would pray somewhat out loud. That's why, that's just a little suggestion. That doesn't mean that you have to do that. And then the third on the back is use hymnal. Now, I don't do that right now, but I have for years. And I'm not very good on music, but I don't sing. Some people sing to the Lord. And a lot of times they take the Psalms and put it to music. But it might be, if you like this, to take a hymnal. And I use that InterVarsity Christian Fellowship hymnal. And that helped me to express my worship to the Lord. But a lot of your hymns are not for worship. You know, I love to tell the story. Well, that's for witnessing. But the ones, How Great Thou Art. Now, that's worship. But most of your hymns are not so much for worship. So I have to pick out the hymns that really help me worship. Oh, how great thou art. See, that would be worship. So you pick those out, and then that would help me, you know, in my time with the Lord. I use maps, and I can write down things too on the maps, and when I'm praying, if I want to put down names, but that's just for me. Prayer letters, people that write to me and want me to pray for certain things, I can keep that in a little place. And comfortable position. Well, no, specific first. Be specific. I suppose if you only took one thing out of this little workshop that would revolutionize your time with the Lord, would be that little point. Be specific. I think so often we're general in our prayer requests. Like, for example, if I told you to go and bless your wife, that's kind of general, isn't it? We're not sure. So if you learn to pray specifically, that you'll recognize the answer. I'm sure God will answer that prayer. But we wouldn't recognize it, probably. So learn to pray specifically. That's why it's nice to keep a little record. Sometimes we're afraid to put it down because that checks your prayer life, because sometimes we ask amiss and we may consume it upon our lusts. So there's a lot about prayer that we're not covering here. But anyway, I would say be specific. That really helps your prayer life. And then comfortable position. Now, as I mentioned, I do like to be on my knees, because that does help me to concentrate. Now, I think you can get in too comfortable position. And that's called... that's, you know, in the sack. Then you might get to be sacrilegious there, so you have to be careful. That's the prone position.
Horizontal.
You know, a couple... just more recently, Merle and I together. Now, I couldn't understand how people do this. For the first 5 minutes, you know, I don't even feel like a Christian. You just, you know, you don't... trying to get focused here, but we'll cover that problem in a minute. But we did pray in bed for a few minutes there in the morning. But some people do that, some couples. But normally we haven't done that. I have to get going and come back to it. But I do like to be on my knees, but like, see, he likes to run. Some people will take a walk. But he doesn't know what it's like in northern Minnesota for 8 months. And but some people, they'll walk a certain bit, and then they'll know that, well, I'll walk back, and I got that time with the Lord. And some people like to sit. But I used to think if you got on your knees, especially if you were on cement, be more spiritual. But then my knees were getting so sore that I'd hurry up. So I do put a little cushion or something, and I like to lean, you know, on a Davenport or bed and just lean out. And then I have my Bible, and I'll have a notebook or whatever thing I want there, a hymnal. And I do like that position the best. Okay, then the other one is avoid ruts. That's, I think, one of the reasons why we have a workshop like this, just to avoid ruts. I don't mind, you know, consistency, but I do change from time to time, and I think that's why, you know, you get some ideas and you ask people. Sometimes it's embarrassing to ask people what they're doing because they're not doing anything. Maybe that's a challenge for them, but hopefully this will give you some ideas and try to experiment. And then here's the question you asked, Kathy. Let time grow naturally. That's a suggestion. Now, let's say that this is not built into your life. And you'd ask me, Bob, how much time should I spend? Well, I can't answer that. Now, when I'd live in the dormitory and I'd see those guys go into the telephone booth and talk to their girl for an hour, you know, I think, well, you know, here we are. Some people don't even have enough, you know, can't even spend 10 minutes with the Lord, I think. And they've been a believer for a while. I wonder they don't really know the Lord. But if you're brand new and you just haven't got this built in, I'd say start out with 10, 15 minutes. And the navigators have a little track down here called 7 Minutes with God. So pick it up, and it tells you how to break up 7 minutes. And you'd say, 7 minutes? Well, that's a start. And you know what happens. Now, I remember when I first started out, I thought, you know, 5 minutes, I'm praying around the world a couple times, and it was really strange, you know, but I was giving it a try. But anyway, you just let it grow, and then I think as you go along, the Lord fills it up. And you'll say, I got to get more time with the Lord, see, like what you were talking about. And you just build it up, and you're not trying to time yourself. You know, maybe you got to punch the clock, so to speak. And we should talk about that. Yeah, right, right. Like, if I'm talking about the men now, if they have to punch the clock, so to speak, at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever, then they have to figure out how much sleep you need, and you got to work your way backwards and say, well, it takes me a half hour to get dressed and cleaned up and all that, and then it takes me 15 minutes to eat or something, and, well, maybe a whole hour there. Well, then you have to work back and say, well, how much time am I going to get with the Lord? Well, then you got to get up that much earlier. Well, those are just some suggestions of trying to encourage you. Now, let's talk about the hindrances. Now, the first hindrance is what I have listed here, getting up in the morning.
You got that right order there.
Now, what's the secret of getting up in the morning?
Going
to bed at night. Right. But have you ever watched people go to bed at night? They dilly-dally around and try to get a lot of stuff, especially the women, trying to get everything done, and then they wonder why they're tired in the morning. But you have to figure out how much sleep you get. And if this is priority, then you're going to have to hit that sack. And hopefully, when you get older, it gets a little harder. Some people, you know, they don't need as much sleep, but I don't know. You have different styles here of people, you know, some waking up at night and they're tired in the morning. But I think if you get into regular routine and figure out how much sleep you need and then try to be more consistent, because that should be the priority of your day, that time alone with the Lord. And now, some people have to use an alarm. I do. Now, some psychologically can wake up, and older people are just like a clock. But I relax better if I have an alarm, and I don't have to be looking and guessing. Now, some people, if they're going hunting or fishing real early in the morning, there's something about they wake up 3 o'clock because when they're supposed to But here, you know, I've watched this. I've even been in rooms where guys have to set the alarm across the room. And it's cold, you know, morning in the winter. And they'd get out of bed, and they'd have to go across there and shut the alarm off. Because otherwise they'd get in the habit of shutting it off and not realizing it later that they shut it off. Because they got in a bad habit of staying, you know, after they shut the alarm off. But anyway, I've seen guys go across the room, shut it off, and go back to bed. How about that? Well, you might even have to pray about it at night and say, Lord, help me in the morning. But that is a real hindrance, just getting up. But maybe, you know, going to bed at night is the key again. All right, and then another hindrance. Even though you think you got adequate sleep, there is a sleepiness. And you know what some people have to do? Resort to coffee. I don't know if you do, but some people want that little cup of coffee to get started. Some have to take a shower. But you're out there running. You should be wide awake. But sleepiness, maybe you can look at a light bulb or something. That might help you. I'm usually pretty good after 5 minutes if I clean up first. Now, when I was a brand new Christian, I don't know, somehow I got the idea you're supposed to roll out of bed on your knees, and I was doing very well till somebody said, why don't you clean up and maybe even dress? And that was a real help. But see, when I'm working with a guy that just comes to Christ, we take nothing for granted. You know, it's cute with some of the new ones, especially let them pray first. And this one guy, Bob Lynn, I'm still in touch with him. He's in Fargo. He's an assistant editor of the Fargo Forum. And he was no church background, really. And the first time we prayed together, I asked him, I said, why don't you talk to God first? And he did. And when he finished, you know how we say, amen. He finished praying. He looked up at me and he says, Bob, I'm finished. It's your turn. Well, you know, if you've been in prayer meetings before, that isn't usually. But see, he had never been in a prayer meeting. But he talked to God. It wasn't the cliches.
Yeah.
See, it was beautiful. And it's fun to pray with new Christians that haven't been taught the cliches. Now we come boldly under the throne. You know, we got all... All right. Now, here's another hindrance that I got listed here. Wrong motives. Now, you know what a wrong motive would be? Let's say that we're going to get together next week at this time. And you knew that I was going to ask how to go. So every day this week, you make sure you have the quiet time so you won't be embarrassed. Well, now that would be a wrong motive. Another wrong motive might be that you're meeting a habit or a little devotional exercise. I don't even like to use the quiet time. I like time with the Lord better. You know, we say quiet time, it looks kind of like a... You know, look at the Muslims, how they 5 times a day, isn't it, that they get on their knees? And when we were in Egypt, man, they'd be out in the field kneeling. But it's routine. They don't have a personal, dynamic relationship with the Lord. So the wrong motive is, well, I'm eating a habit, or I'm doing this so my wife knows I'm getting time with the Lord. No. You know, you love the Lord, you want to be with Him. So the wrong motive is a big hindrance. What's your motive? All right, another hindrance is when you're in this quiet time, your mind wanders. And you might be praying, and all of a sudden you think of that argument you had at work, or that strain with the relative. And you're arguing by yourself, but you're always winning in those situations.
That happens a lot.
And your mind is just way over here. Or maybe you're reading, and all of a sudden, what did I read? Well, that's why it's important to read out loud, because you concentrate better. So that's why praying out loud or reading out loud is very important. Or another thing, maybe you're praying and all of a sudden you think of an appointment that you have and you say, boy, I got to get going here. I got to shave and, forgot the razors, yes, blades. And then all of it, I don't want to forget that. So I keep that in my mind. Or maybe it's a phone call. Oh, I don't want to forget that. And then I'm trying to think of the phone call and the razor and I'm praying and supposed to have time with the Lord. Have a little. My wallet, which is also a diary, and you just put down that phone call. Call Charlie. Got an Amway guy for him, you know, or something like that. So just then I got it covered, and then I get back So it's very important to have a notebook there for me, because I don't want my mind cluttered with a lot of stuff in that time alone. Now, here's the last hindrance. So let's turn to Luke 10. And I never get tired of sharing this one. This is probably the greatest challenge to me. And it's about a couple women. So you ladies should appreciate this. It's about Mary and Martha. You heard of that one?
Mm-hmm.
Luke 10, 38 through 42. You might want to write that reference down. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Well, let me just read it in closing here. Now it came to pass, as they went, that's Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I think Martha had the ministry of hospitality. Maybe that's what you ladies have too, and that's very legitimate ministry. In verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now that's interesting. And I wouldn't mind that as my epitaph, that Bob was a guy who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And that's what we think about Mary. And I'm sure she had a ministry of hospitality too. But now notice verse 40. Martha had a problem. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now maybe you're like that. You're really involved in a lot of things. And maybe it's good serving and good things. And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? I think she had a bad attitude. She's complaining because she's getting stuck with all the work. Bid her therefore that she help me. Now let's notice how Jesus handled this. I'm sure he was gracious, but firm. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, troubled about many things. But now, verse 42, talk about priorities. She had her priorities squared away, but one thing is needful. And I think that's something that if you could take away from this little workshop, one thing is needful for me. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen. See, it's a choice that you have to make. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And what we talked about in this workshop is that the priorities of time alone with the Lord in the Scriptures and prayer, that'll never be lost when you spend time with the Lord. That'll never be taken away from you.